Hello, and thank you for downloading Sporting Witness from the BBC World Service. In 1972, the great Finnish distance runner Lasse Virran broke the 10,000-metre world record at the Munich Olympics, despite having fallen over halfway through the race. That win inspired the legend of the Flying Finn. Virran and fellow competitor David Bedford have been talking to Emily Williams.
It's the 3rd of September 1972 in Munich, venue for the 20th modern Olympics, and the men's 10,000-metre final is underway. Pushing themselves 25 times round the 400-metre track, the race is a test of endurance for the runners, providing ample time for calculation, misery and doubt. It was an event keenly anticipated by the British favourite David Bedford, who'd won his heat, setting a new Olympic record.
It's the longest track event, and running an event that has 25 laps, it seems a long way. I mean, if you ran 10,000 metres on the road or on the country, it seems a lot shorter than it does on the track where you've got that lap counter, you know, 24 laps to go, you've done one, it seems an awful long way. And running 10,000 metre races when you're fit and healthy and confident is great, but if it's not going well, it seems an awful long way. I felt I had to break the world record to win, and decided to go out with that intention.
The tall, hunched Englishman with the Via Zapata moustache set off quickly with a first lap of less than 61 seconds and maintained it. Behind him, the 15 finalists stretched out along the track. Amongst them were star athletes like the Tunisian Mohamed Gamoudi, gold medalist in the 5,000 metres 4 years earlier, Emil Puttermans of Belgium, the Ethiopian Miras Yifta, and a 23-year-old village policeman from Finland, Lasse Virran. Virran, back then, was a relative unknown who'd announced his arrival on the international scene only a few weeks earlier.
I'd raced him a couple of times that year, and he certainly wasn't a contender in any of those races leading up to it, so it was a bit of a surprise. In fact, I think I feared all the way through Juho Vartanen, who won the Europeans the year before, but that didn't turn out to be a factor.
Just before the Olympics, I'd won a two-mile race in Stockholm against many of these runners. I was the best there on the day, so that gave me confidence. But of course, the bigger the game, the more uncertain you are about the outcome. There was a strong field, and this was a big games. David Bedford, he went out fast and was working very hard.
For 10 laps, Bedford led the field, running at world record pace. Then, just short of the halfway mark, came a dramatic event. Virran in fifth place clipped Butterman's heel, and moments later he lay sprawled on the ground. Running just behind, Gamoudi tripped over Virran and landed beside him.
When I fell and got up, it was just like a reflex action. Also, I wasn't the only one who fell, and I was afraid of being injured. Then when I first got up and started running, I wasn't even sure I was going in the right direction. But I never thought of giving up, never. I just did my best to catch the others.
Virran leapt to his feet and began running after the leading pack some 30 metres away. In little more than 100 metres, he'd rejoined them.
My coach told me later that I was running after the main group too fast. But when I caught them up, I got back to my usual pace. I put the fall out of my mind completely. It actually happened in the slowest lap of the race, which might be why we fell, but I just carried on, just carried on.
I think the way the two athletes that fell dealt with the situation is indicative of their frames of mind. So for Virran, he was absolutely focused on the fact that he felt he could win. And I think Gamoudi probably felt he never had a chance of winning anyway, so perhaps that fall gave him the opportunity to come to terms with where he was. And yeah, Virran just got up and went forward. He could probably be in another 50 races and do the same fall and not react the same way. It was a highly charged atmosphere in the stadium, and in those situations different people act in different ways and at different times.
Remarkably, it was Virran with a sprint finish who went on to win that race in world record time of 27 minutes, 38.4 seconds. Days later, Virin, showing his strength again, became only the fourth athlete in modern Olympic history to win gold in both the 5,000 and 10,000 metres, a feat he then repeated 4 years later at the Montreal Olympics. In the intervening years, however, Virin's form was far less impressive. His extraordinary ability to peak for the Olympics made many people suspicious. He was suspected of a practice called blood doping, which was believed to have been prevalent in Scandinavia in the 1970s. Blood doping involves an athlete having a pint of blood removed and frozen. Just before a big race, the blood is thawed and re-injected, significantly enhancing the athlete's oxygen-carrying capacity. Virin has always rejected the allegation.
Ainahan sanotaan, että menestyvä urheilija joutuu niin kuin semmoiseen
If you win these kinds of very important competitions, there'll always be rumours, people speculating or trying to give explanations. And sometimes, in a way, it's easier to run the smaller races as people just leave you alone. But I know what I did, I know what happened, and I have no problem whatsoever about how I won the race.
Perhaps Virin's secret, if he had one, lay in the way he prepared for the Games. He did it in a way that no one had ever done before, with ruthless discipline and a singular focus.
Getting ready for the Olympics, I would plan a year ahead, train for a whole year beginning in the October. Of course, I took part in other competitions along the way, but it's just that everything was heading towards this one most important run, and everything was planned according to that.
He spent months training at high altitude in South America and Africa before Munich, but most of his training was done alone in the forest close to the home in Finland where he still lives today.
Here where I live in Myrskylä, we're about 100 kilometres north of Helsinki. It's very rural. We're surrounded by countryside. It's very beautiful. And I'm lucky I live right by the shore of the lake, which is very important for Finns, that connection to lake and to water. The lake is like a changing landscape painting. It can have a different appearance every minute, every hour. It changes how it looks. That's why it's so interesting. It gives you a connection to nature.
And there were echoes also of a Finnish code of manly conduct, known as sisu, which prized self-reliance, fortitude and endurance, psychological traits ideally suited to distance running.
For me, it means it's something you don't give up. It's an old Finnish expression, very much used in wartime. But it's just like you want to go on, and you don't want to give up.
One of the most tactically astute runners of all time, Virin is the only athlete to have won both the 10 and 5,000 metres at consecutive Olympics. Today, he's widely regarded as one of the founders of modern athletics, the prime exponent of peak performance. For David Bedford, that loss was a bitter disappointment, but the following year, he went on to set a new 10,000-metre world record.
On the best day of my life, I was the fastest athlete in the world, and on the worst day, I was the sixth. So, looking back on it, that's the way it was. He had four best days and was the best in the world at least four times.
Emily Williams. That edition of Sporting Witness was a Whistledown production. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.